Okay. Total fucking crackhead today. So if I seem tired going through this question, just bear with me. So we have a woman at 12 weeks gestation, and you can see that her total thyroxine, her total T4 is increased, and her TSH is in the normal range. Okay. This thyroid hormone stuff during pregnancy, very, very high yield for all of the levels of the medical licensing exam. You need to know that estrogen, which is our answer here, estrogen, which rises during pregnancy, causes the liver to increase production of thyroid binding globulin, TBG. Now, almost all, I think it's like 99% of thyroid hormone in the blood is actually bound to TBG. And then there's a small fraction, about 1%, that exists as free thyroxine floating around the blood. It's actually the free thyroxine that has the physiologic effect on our bodily systems. Now, when estrogen causes the liver to increase production of TBG, that TBG is going to mop up some of the free thyroxine in the blood. So the absolute amount of free thyroxine will transiently decrease during early pregnancy. The hypothalamus and anterior pituitary will sense that decrease. So hypothalamus increases production of TRH, thyroid releasing hormone. Anterior pituitary increased TSH production, thyroid stimulating hormone, and the thyroid gland will increase production of thyroxine until the absolute amount of free thyroxine in the blood has been restored. But in order to restore that absolute amount of free thyroxine, the total amount of T4 had to increase because there's more TBG floating around. So if that sounds confusing, it kind of is. But what you need to know for US Amelia, I'm just going to kind of put this straight to you, is your total thyroxine is an up arrow. Your free thyroxine is no change. And your TSH is no change. And if you're asked about T3, you're going to choose no change because that's converted over, peripheral conversion of T4 to T3, and that's going to occur from the free T4. So once again, in pregnancy, for US only purposes, you're going to select up arrow total T4, no change free T4, no change T3, no change TSH. Okay? There's a transient process, as I just mentioned, as far as TSH can go up, cause the thyroid gland to increase production in order to reach a new equilibrium. But when you get questions in around USMLE regarding thyroid hormone, they're only going to ask you about the values I just told you. And if they do give you a situation that's different, it's going to be notably that the patient's like EG hyperthyroid. You can see that the patient here is normal. Everything's normal limits. Okay. Physical exam, no abnormalities. Now, once again, it's estrogen that increases during pregnancy that causes the liver to increase production of TBG, high yield, not progesterone. Okay. Progesterone obviously will increase in production throughout pregnancy in order to maintain the endometrial lining. We have the syncytia trophoblastic cells of the placenta that are going to be secreting beta HCG, or just HCG, but the beta subunit. We measure when we do pregnancy tests, but HCG is going to maintain the corpus luteum up through about 8 to 10 weeks of pregnancy. Corpus luteum secretes progesterone, which maintains our endometrial lining. And then at about 8 to 10 weeks of pregnancy, the placenta takes over production of progesterone. That obviates the need for us to have beta HCG production. We don't need HCG to maintain a corpus luteum to secrete progesterone when the placenta takes over that production of progesterone. We don't need that corpus luteum anymore. So that's why at 8 to 10 weeks, HCG decreases. Okay, so if you get a graph type question, and they show you like different lines, and you see one hormone like goes up 8 to 10 weeks, falls, that's beta HCG. Progesterone continues to rise through pregnancy, as does estrogen. Androstenedione, that's just a weaker androgen, so weaker than testosterone. Okay, that would be made by theca interna cells in the ovaries, or Leydig cells in males. That's just not our answer. Androstenedione is also made by the adrenal gland and the zona reticularis, the deeper layer of the adrenal cortex. Okay. Dehydroepiandrosterone sulfate, that's also made in the zona reticularis of the adrenal cortex. That is an adrenal specific androgen. I don't want to go off and digress on too many things, but DHEAS, if they give you a question, like let's say, for example, a patient has Cushing syndrome, and they also tell you in the last line, DHEAS is elevated, you're like, that would reflect adrenal cortical hyperplasia rather than a cortisol secreting tumor. Because if you had a cortisol secreting tumor, why would your DHEAS also be elevated? But if you have diffuse hyperplasia, where your entire cortex is hypersecretory, that could explain an elevation in DHEAS. You can also get elevations in DHEAS when we have congenital adrenal hyperplasia, when we have 11 and 21 hydroxylase deficiencies. Okay, but these are just distractors. When you're not sure of what's going on in a question, people tend to choose weirder sounding answers. That's why they're there, as distractors. General rule of thumb for you is if you don't know an answer, don't choose something weird. Oxytocin, obviously that's not correct here, but oxytocin is going to be the hormone that enables milk letdown. So prolactin, milk production, oxytocin, milk letdown during actual breastfeeding, oxytocin also stimulating uterine contractions, okay? So, I mean, that's pretty much it, okay? Different things we can talk about without digressing too much, but we just said prolactin, that's going to do milk letdown, progesterone maintains the pregnancy, and that's pretty much it, all right? So this thyroid hormone stuff during pregnancy, very, very high yield. In summary, you're going to have an up arrow total T4, no change free T4, no change TSH, and no change T3. That's it.